It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Tuesday edition of the show. It is Takes on Takes live from Indianapolis, where Kyle and I are covering the NFL Scouting Combine, but we would not miss the opportunity to deliver Takes on Takes. Kyle, welcome.
Joe, this isn't live. We're live in Indy, but you gave the impression that this was a live podcast.
Well, it was a
tease.
This
ain't a live podcast.
It was a tease.
All right. Well, now I feel foolish. We should probably just move on then.
Yeah. Okay. I guess we should just jump right in. I'm giving you this first one. You ready for it?
No, hold on. I'm taking your picture right now.
That's weird.
So can we explain the setup for people who are listening at home so they get a little context here?
Go ahead.
All right, so we are at the convention center, and we each have individual microphones. We don't have the big processing thing that you plug the external mics in and run it through and record it all the same. So we're sitting, how many yards do you think this is? Probably
30.
30? Maybe a 40-yard? No, it's definitely not a 40-yard dash
30,
away.
30.
It's less. It's like, 25, 30 yards away from each other right now in this big open room. Sitting here looking at each other from afar so our microphones don't pick each other up. Now, we're recording the podcast just like we would if we were 800 miles away in Charlotte and Philadelphia.
Nothing will stop
the draft dudes.
For Takes on Takes Tuesday. All right, you're
no,
ready?
Let's go. Yeah, let's
okay.
go.
So these came a combination of takes from both Twitter and the TDN Premium Slack. Actually, most of these from the Premium Slack. So
sure.
Yeah, you got to make sure you're in there so that you can get your takes on the show.
Wow, right. Big facts.
Our first one from Michael. Michael says Cole Kmet, who's the Notre Dame tight end, will be better than every first-round tight end taken since O.J. Howard.
I'm out. I'm all the way out. I don't. Kmet's a good player, and I see the appeal, but I don't see the first-round. Like, he's been in first round mock drafts for like not just like draft Twitter people. Like there's been some big media people that have put Kmet in the first round, and I don't see it. I don't know if you see it, Joe, but I don't. And I'm going to sell, especially because if we're going to pick a first round tight end to set as the bar, I'm not sure OJ Howard would be the guy that we pick because he's been underwhelming for two of his three seasons in Tampa Bay.
I think this comes down to it's a pretty weak tight end class and try to maybe have a team reach to make sure they get the best one towards the back half of the first round. But that's just too aggressive for me, especially for a player that's pretty raw in Kmet. But I think he has nice receiving upside, but there's a lot for him to prove. And I don't see him as a player that'll be valued in the first round.
Okay, so take from Jack. This is a tattle take. Every Bucks fan who thinks Matt Stafford and Jameis Winston are the same quarterback, to all of you, if you think Stafford would throw 30 interceptions in the Arian offense, please dislodge your head from your bleep and recognize that not every quarterback with a big arm is also incapable of reading a defense. It's only our big-armed quarterback that's incapable of reading a defense. So Jack is a Bucs fan tattling on other Bucs fans.
Yeah, and I think a lot of this came to light yesterday with my mock draft where I had the Buccaneers trading for Matt Stafford, and it became this big reaction from Bucs fans that they wanted to tell me that that Matt Stafford wouldn't be an upgrade to Jameis Winston, which is something I disagree with pretty hardly. And something I kind of learned through working through those conversations yesterday is that there are a lot of Florida State fans that are also Tampa Bay fans, and they're Jameis fans. And that's fine. You like him as a player, but that doesn't mean you have to be blind to the fact that he's not going to be a desired starting quarterback next year, and that Matthew Stafford's a superior football player. So I'm with Jack. I think it's a bad take to think that Stafford would not be an upgrade over Jameis Winston. And yeah, to label all big strong arm quarterbacks as incapable of reading a defense is not fair. And I think it's ridiculous to think that Stafford would throw 30 interceptions with Arians. That's the Jameis special. It's also ridiculous to think that this LASIK surgery is going to be the turning point in Jameis's career. If it was that simple, the dude needed to have the surgery years ago. Kyle says, not you, this is a different Kyle. He says, take, Henry Ruggs will not run the fastest 40. It will be Antonio Gibson.
No, come on here. How heavy is Antonio Gibson?
He's like
215, 220?
Yeah.
I think he was over 220 at the Senior Bowl, I think. He's fast, but he's not Henry Ruggs fast. Come on, this is nuts. I'm out
all
I'm
the
all
way
out. I'm all, that's, we got to formally detract from all the takes I'm all the way out on with the quote, which has become a popular one for people in the premium slack to point out, which is, I have three speeds. I'm in. I can see where you're going, or I'm all the way out. And I am all the way out on Ruggs being slower than Antonio Gibson. Take from Zach Rogers. Only linebacker taking in the first round is Simmons, Isaiah Simmons. Sorry, Patrick Queen, Kenneth Murray, and Zach Bond.
So I don't know if Zach's trying to be predictive in that Simmons is the only one going in the first round, or the only one that he is taking in the first round would be Simmons.
Either way, I think it's incorrect.
Yeah, I think it's incorrect. I think Queen for sure is going to go in the first round. I think there's a good chance of Murray, and there's an outside chance of Vaughn. And I would personally be comfortable with taking Simmons or Queen and then Murray if I was a team at the back of the first round like Green Bay, who I felt like I needed to get that type of player. You know, I could see myself doing it. So
Baltimore as well.
Oh, yeah, they've got a ton of guys on their front seven that have expiring contracts, and they don't have a lot of cap space.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm not seeing this one, Zach. And he's a Packers fan, so that's really interesting. So he must really not want them to go with the linebacker in the first round. Okay, this next one is from FXL3.
Yeah, you did good.
Yeah, the Browns will move up in the first round to take tackle Jedrick Wills, not trade down.
Is anybody talking about the Browns trading down? Like, seriously?
Well, I did it in my mock draft on Monday, so there's that.
Joey.
But the they're not moving up. But,
no. FXL3 is right in that Cleveland would be maybe not because of the regime change there, right?
They'd be more inclined to move back, in my opinion.
I think that's probably correct, but I don't think they'll To get Jedrick, where do you have to go? Three?
To be sure of it.
Five?
I mean, if
they, like, yeah, five's like the best case scenario for Cleveland. Like, that's the least amount of distance you'd have to move up to ensure you're going to get Jedrick Wills.
Right.
No, I'm out. I'm all the way out. I just talked myself into it. I'm on your side. I'm waving at you. You're not waving back.
Because I'm looking out the window and you're looking at me, and it's weird. I'm looking at this beautiful church.
Take from Anthony Marino. No relation.
No.
Brandon Bean is going to stack wide receivers this offseason, similar to what he did with the offensive line in 2019.
Well, similar to what he did with the offensive line, that would mean eight unrestricted free agents and a second-round pick on offensive line.
Oh, my.
I don't think we're doing that. And you look at this Bills receiver core, you have to at least think John Brown, Cole Beasley, Andre Roberts are part of the mix. And then so you probably have three spots. And, you know, in-house guys, Duke Williams, Robert Foster, Isaiah McKenzie. But, yeah, I can see several bodies being added to the mix here, whether that's some interesting free agents or a couple of different draft picks. The Bills have 9 picks, 6 on day 3. This is a deep wide receiver class. Now, I think we can all kind of look at Brandon Bean's resume and understand that he's a trade up guy, but I could definitely see him doubling down in the draft and adding a couple of free agents. And, you know, all of a sudden you've got 4 new guys to the mix and 3 of them make the roster. So yeah, I think he'll be aggressive there. I don't know if it's going to be quite to the level of the offensive line play, because that Bills offensive line had only like one legit player in Deion Dawkins, where there's at least 3 that I think are definitely going to be rostered from 2019 into 2020. Grayson, this is interesting. And it's funny how often I think we have to go back to the Josh Rosen stuff, because there's a lot of different ideas of what can happen with him. So Grayson says Josh Rosen will start more than 8 games for a team besides the Dolphins next year.
No. What's his trade value? His trade value is 0 right now. And Miami's not going to trade him just to be rid of him. He's cheap, young quarterback that had clearly at one point, at least, had potential because he was drafted in the top 10. There's no motivation for Miami to move for a guy that, you know, how far down the pecking order is he right now as far as options available for quarterbacks? He ain't in the top 10 most like attractive available quarterbacks. And for Miami to move him, they're going to have to get something close to reasonable for return on investment. They traded a 2. So you're talking about a top 100 pick, and nobody's going to give you a top 100 pick for Josh Rosen right now.
Right.
Take from Salvatore. All this talk about the Bucs going for a veteran quarterback in free agency, but we as football fans deserve to see a Bruce Arians, Jacob Eason combo next year.
Why is that so appealing? I guess it's the big strong arm quarterback and Bruce Arians' vertical passing game, and so that's appealing to people, but I think Eason just needs so much work.
Joe Marino, renowned Jacob Eason hater.
Well, I look forward. I'm actually interviewing him in about 30 minutes, so that's going to be interesting. I just feel like he's so limited as a passer, and I know that feels weird as a guy who has his type of arm strength, but I mean, in terms of processing, I keep going back to this. I watched his tape at Washington very intently. It's half field reads. It's high low reads. It's very simple. He's a slow processor. He doesn't hate. I mean, his ability to handle pressure is so bad, and I just feel like there's so much work that he needs. He has a very small amount of passing attempts entering the NFL. So I don't think Eason is anywhere near ready to touch a football field next year, especially, which is the foundation of this take from Salvatore. So I could see Arians liking him. I just don't have like a whole lot of excitement about Eason as a prospect in the NFL and what his upside is as a starter. This is interesting from Bull Bittler here, and I think this is about casting some shade on AJ Epenesa. And Bull says, I would rather draft Javon Kinlaw and play him at edge than draft AJ Epenesa.
Why? Epenesa is probably better get off. He anchors better in 2-gap scenarios than Kinlaw does. Kinlaw is a little bit more of a linear burst up the field kind of guy. Penetration, I don't think he's got the lateral mobility that, not to say that Epenesa has a ton of it, but he's better than Kinlaw, who I think is much more of a gap shooter as compared to somebody who could set the edge and play inside out and try and collapse the point of attack. So I'm not seeing this one as far as what the appeal is of Kinlaw playing defensive. Can I think he could play the B gap? Absolutely. Do I think he could play penetration like a 1-gap 5-tech? Sure. But to play him on the edge and be outside man in the line of scrimmage, I just don't think he's got that level of mobility. And I know Epenesa doesn't have a ton of it, but I think he has workable skills to do it more effectively. Michael Christopher. After the combine, most people will start mocking Wirfs to the Giants because Gettleman will fall in love after the combine. That being said, Andrew Thomas will still go ahead of Becton. So order off the board of offensive tackles would be Wirfs, Wills, Thomas, Becton.
I have a hard time with this. I mean, I feel like we already know so much about these offensive tackles, and I feel like the least important part of their evaluation is going to be the combine. So I don't know how much the combine is going to move the needle when it comes to these offensive tackles.
Well, apparently Wirfs is supposed to blow up the testing.
We knew that when we watched we read Bruce Feldman's combine or Freaks List this year, and you see, you know, the videos on Twitter, what he can do in the weight room. You watch his tape, you can see this guy move. I mean, he's going to be unbelievable. That doesn't mean he's the best tackle here, or the one that's going to go off the board first. And there's people that think he's a guard, and I don't agree with that, but I think that plays into his valuation a bit. So I think I could see Gettleman loving, you know, the long arms of Andrew Thomas and the experience and time at left tackle, but I don't know. I kind of feel like he's going to like Wills. I mean, just from the tape perspective, you know, myself, you, other, you know, draft guys, people I really respect are all in this category of people that think that this is like some of the best offensive line tape we've seen. I think that's got to resonate with the NFL. He played at Alabama. I think Wills is going to be the first one off the board. I really do.
Can I jump in real quick?
Of course.
We're big draft guys, so this is a relevant thing to bring up. Did you see Becton's measurements?
Did they come out yet?
Yes, they came out 4 minutes ago. They came out 4 minutes ago.
Well, I'm focused on this podcast, not Twitter, so.
Well, I could do both. I'm a multitasker.
Right.
Listen, Becton came in at 6'7 3/8".
Yeah.
Okay. 364.
Oh, God. Yeah.
35 5/8-inch arms.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's an 83-inch wingspan.
Yeah, that's massive.
Nobody cares about hand size for offensive tackles.
It's interesting to me, though. What did we get Thomas yet? Because I thought he was going to check in plus 35-inch arms.
I don't know. I'm trying to focus on this podcast.
Yeah, yeah, hear you.
No, he did not. So you got to give me Vontel's take here.
All right, Vontel says, regardless of what teams they get drafted to, Lucas Niang will be a player in the league. Will be a player in the league. Then at least two. What I think we're missing part of the take here.
Probably at least two of the guys drafted in front of him.
Yeah, I think that was a copy paste there from the producer. Wow, fired. I hate to see it.
So is that what we're going with for the take? Niang will be better than at least two of the tackles drafted in front of him?
I have it now. Regardless of what teams they get drafted to, Lucas Niang will be a better player in the league than at least two of the top dogs, Wirfs, Wills, Thomas, Becton.
So then the four guys drafted in front of him.
Yeah.
No, but it's because I think these guys will be really good.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's an indictment of Lucas Niang. I think this is a really great offensive tackle class. So I'll pass on that one for now. Cameron Spencer, if grinding the tape still did his free money bet of the week, the two props under consideration for the combine would be Henry Ruggs under 4.38, which has been removed because it's such a blatantly easy bet to make.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Taylor under 4.51 in the 40.
So which one would Kyle go with?
As the free money bet of the week.
Well, those would definitely be in consideration. I think that Kyle, man, they're both so obvious to me.
I would put my mortgage on the Ruggs 4.38.
What would you put on the Taylor? Just like a savings account?
Four figures, but not the mortgage.
Okay. Yeah, I think both of those will happen. Yeah.
Listen, this is it for us today. Quick show today. We got a lot on our plate here. Joe's got to go interview Jacob Eason here in 30 minutes. Actually, it's less than that now. So Joe's on the clock, which means we're off the clock, which means you guys are on the clock to come back tomorrow and make sure you catch tomorrow's episode. We're going to break down some of the happenings and interviews and comments from today's combine. There's not just players today. There's also general managers and coaches speaking with the media today. So there's going to be a lot of information and a big spike in quotes, and people are going to galaxy brain the shit out of everything. And that's fine. We're here to break it all down. We'll tell you what sense. So hit subscribe, come back, see us again tomorrow. Kyle Krabs with Joe Marino. Thanks as always for listening to the Draft Dudes podcast.